What's up, everybody? It's your boy No No Punches, and you are listening to Hitting the Streets with No No Punches. I got a guest in here. We on a pilot episode. Guest, who are you, bro?
You know, your favorite uncle, your favorite sage of wisdom, Sage Wave, baby, in the building.
Oh my God, Sage Wave. Okay. If you're hearing our voices and we sound familiar, it's because we are regular guests on another thing that comes out of KBVR FM. What is it?
That's Amir Browse, baby.
Amir Browse, all right? Where we are guests, but now this is different. It's my show.
Yep.
With DJ Uncle Forehead.
Yep.
It's my show, but it's featuring him.
Yep.
You know, how often he's going to be on here, I don't know. But we need to get into it. So, Hitting the Streets with No No Punches is a podcast about the streets. Street fashion,
the nitty gritty,
sneakers, shoes, boots, all that,
kicks,
Tim's, butters,
yutters,
butters,
devious,
and here's the thing: I'm a sneakerhead, which means I'm a avid fan, lover, and appreciator of everything footwear, and the culture, and the stories, and really the people that surround it. And the thing is, I feel that there are other people here in Corvallis that also have the same appreciation and affinity for sneakers and footwear that I do, but there isn't a unified community and there isn't a lot of media produced around sneakers, right? So really, I'm gonna get into it and give you some background on sneakers, sneaker culture, what it means, and who am I? So actually, we're gonna tackle all those things in reverse. Bow. So who am I? I grew up in
Bow.
I know, you know, they not expecting it. So
they not expecting it.
Hit up with a loop de woop.
And a oop.
Switch it up.
Oop.
Ooh. Switch
ooh. Loop de. Loop de.
Hey.
Loop de.
What?
Loop de. Yeah.
What? Ooh.
Okay.
So who am I? I grew up in Portland, Oregon, which is one of the most important locations in the sneaker world. And I'll tell you why. Portland, Oregon is the home of Nike. All right. The North American Adidas headquarters and the global innovation hub of Under Armour. My particular fascination with sneakers goes back long, long before I came here to Oregon State. I'm a junior, so you know that's a little something about me, but I grew up in Portland with pretty much just my mom, right? And later in my life, I ended up meeting my brother. I always knew I had a brother, right? But I had never met him. I met my brother in middle school and I was like, whoa, I got a brother, right?
I got a brother.
Bro, he hella cool. So like, I thought he was cool because, you know, he's my big brother. I looked up to him.
Right.
And he was really into sneakers, footwear, shoes, Supras, actually.
So, I ain't gonna lie, Supras was slept on.
Listen, man, my brother liked high tops and leather jackets.
Your brother was a jerker.
Yes. And so he's the one that got me introduced into sneakers. He's quite a bit older than I am. He's around like 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the point, he's long since left the sneaker realm. He doesn't really care for that much anymore.
I see what you're saying.
He works at a chef in the airport. You know, you know, you can't be walking around in J's in the air, like, in the kitchen, right? You know,
so in the non-slips.
So he doesn't really care about that, but it was something that always stuck with me. And really what it was is it's the stories, it's the culture and the real energy that people get from trying on a new pair of shoes, the energy that people get from standing out in line overnight, and the hustle of trying to, you know, just stay up, you know, just flex on them, right?
Flex on them.
Like, you gotta come out dripping.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Easy.
And that energy, bruh.
What?
That's what draw me to it, you feel me?
Absolutely.
All right, see, bro, like, I typed out some whole speeches here that I'm gonna give to you. You did?
Okay, what you got for me, kid?
Here's the thing, fashion.
Fashion,
like other art forms, is a way to express yourself.
Okay.
A way to give physical forms to the ways that you feel, think, and believe.
Drip.
It takes the abstract and gives it substance, allowing you to make manifest your dreams.
Drip too hard.
Sneakers exist as a form of sculpture, wearable sculpture, right? Cloth can be deformed and folded, right? And manipulated. But sneakers are a little different. They're meant to hold their shape and retain their form, right? In that, they let the designers and the people who create sneakers, it lets their thoughts and feelings hold shape, you know, no pun intended, literally.
Right? Literally, yeah, absolutely.
Now, sneaker culture has been a staple for Black folks, and I can't speak for other demographics. I am Black, by the way. That's another, that's something else that I guess these listeners are gonna figure out. You know, sneaker culture has been a part of the Black community for a long time. Would you say, DJ?
I would definitely agree. Since I say my earliest recollection of sneakers was probably Run DMC and the Adidas deal. One of the very first groups to get an Adidas deal.
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's...
That's news to me.
They were one of the first athletes to get a sneaker deal. Or not athletes. They were one of the first groups that weren't athletes to get a sneaker deal.
Yeah. I guess you could say that was like one of the first PEs. PE means player exclusive. But they were not athletes.
No, they weren't.
Which and is so a little ironic.
Exactly. So right. For that, you know, that was probably my first introduction in the... how the sneaker game came to be. And of course, we don't get the crazy designs that we have now, you know. True. The crazy layouts, crazy patterns. True. Crazy innovation.
Ooh,
but like that was where, you know, that was where it kind of started. So I'll say, like, ever since then, Black people have kind of always been on that, yeah, man, I'm on that sneaker wave. Gotta keep my kick game up, you feel me?
And there's like positives and negatives to it, right? One story that kind of hit the mainstream was when, I don't quite know the year, but it's when the Gamma 11s came out.
Gamma Blues?
Yeah.
2014-15, yeah.
So the Gamma 11s, for those who don't know, it's a all black shoe, patent leather right above the midsole, shiny black, all black. The very bottom of the shoe, a hint of blue.
Hint.
Bottom of the shoe.
Blue tint.
Hint of blue.
Blue tint.
That's the bar, but who knew? Okay.
Okay.
Spitting on the mic, you feel me?
Okay, Blue's Clues. Ooh, you dig?
Keep it going.
Okay.
Okay, but see, that shoe, it was kind of a dark day in sneaker history because there were actually a lot of riots, and I think a couple people died during the release of those. The same thing happened with the Galaxy Foamposites, to paint the picture. A shoe with the image of the galaxy wrapped around it.
Drip.
Moving forward, like everything else, there's been positives and negative aspects. People have always been flexing. People have always been trying to show off, you know. People have always been trying to do their thing, you feel me?
Mm.
Another big moment, we were talking about, you know, the different shoes that it released over the years. But one of the biggest things that's ever happened to sneakers was the AJ1, bro. The Air Jordan 1.
The shoe that changed the game.
That changed the world, all right? So... If you don't know what the Air Jordan 1 is, brief description, right? Because I know a lot of you aren't sneakerheads. And so I just want to paint the pictures as clearly as I can. Imagine that.
Go ahead, Picasso.
Mm. A high top shoe, mostly black with hints of red. I'll tell you where the red is. The red is at the bottom of the heel, all right? Straight above that by the ankle, there's a red swoosh. You've seen Nike shoes. You know, they all got the swoosh. There's red swoosh. And the toe box, which is, you know, the toe of the shoe, is also red. Everything else is black. And then you have a white midsole, and the very bottom of the shoe is red. Beautiful. Beautiful shoe.
Beautiful accented. Beautifully accented.
Now, the NBA wasn't like what it is now when it comes to player choice and what they wear. It was actually very regimented in terms of they wanted everyone to have the same type of shoes, same uniforms. They wanted everyone to look the same. The thing is, every time that Michael Jordan wore this shoe, he got fined $5K. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of cash.
Not to him, but it is to me.
But I could do a five right now.
Man, right? Ooh. Because of that, the shoe was appropriately called the Band Ones, also called the Bread Ones, bread being black and red.
That's where that came from?
You didn't know?
On the Lokes. That's where that came from.
Bro, bread, black and red.
I thought one of his homies was named Bread or something. Always wore black and red.
Nah.
I never looked into that. It never came to me.
Hey, man. So actually if you tune into hitting the streets with no punches, you'll hear Bread come up a lot because it's a pretty popular color scheme when it comes to the shoes.
Absolutely.
AKA a colorway. All right.
Ooh, breaking the vocab.
Hey, bro, I give them the terms.
Ooh.
Give them the knowledge.
Terms and conditions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Give them the words.
Okay.
The words
nice
I think I
use.
Bro, stop. But you know, the reason that that particular story is so important, so integral to sneaker culture, is because it really spawned the beginning of the Jordan brand, right? Jordan brand is a subsidiary of Nike, right? So Nike owns Jordan. Everything about Jordan is wrapped up in Nike. And it's kind of a big deal because Nike holds 34% of the market share for all shoes. 34% every shoe bought, Nike shoe. 11% of that is a Jordan shoe. So combined, right, you could say Jordan and Nike together have 45% of all shoe sales. That's wild.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a lot. Adidas is commonly thought of as Nike's rival. Adidas has 11%. Under Armour has 2. So
who has the rest?
Everybody else, I guess. I don't know.
Bro, that's like 50% or 40% unaccounted for.
Yeah, I mean, but like when you think of it as like split up between like, you know, like Crocs and like Uggs and high heels and other like designer shoes, all of that stuff is pretty small in comparison compared to, you know, everything else.
True.
And so now that I've given you the background, now that I've given you the knowledge, right? I've given you a solid foundation. Let's talk about what that means for you and for me and really for everyone else here at Corvallis. So I guess the first thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pose a question to my guest, my homie.
Okay. Talk to me then.
My partner.
Talk to me.
In the booth.
Okay. To me. Tory Lanez, talk to me nice. Okay. Shout out my dad.
I knew you was gonna throw that in there.
You know it's gonna happen.
I knew it was.
Baka, not nice. Talk to me nice.
But my thing is like, how do you think sneaker culture takes shape here in Corvallis?
Here in Corvallis, sneakers definitely aren't a popular. I wouldn't say popular. Sneakers are definitely a hidden gem of Corvallis.
A hidden gem. That's a good way to put it.
Because I will say a lot of people, as you know, as big as the campus is, there are a lot of, was 36,000?
30, I think so.
36,000 students. Yeah. And a small percentage of them actually pay attention to the sneaker world, the sneaker industry.
Yeah.
But the ones that do pay attention in a very avid manner.
True.
So yeah, you'll see some very rare collectibles.
Yeah.
You'll see some incredible sneaker designs. Like you'll see just shoe game off the wall.
Off the wall. I mean, like I was actually doing an interview earlier today,
right?
About sneakers, and I see a dude walk by with Yeezys.
Yeezys.
Unreleased Yeezys.
Huh? You sure they was?
Nah, them drones ain't came out yet.
Hey, you sure they was official?
Oh no, they looked official.
I was gonna say they could look official.
Hey man,
I know some official looking fakes.
Ooh, bro, that might be a topic for next episode.
That might be.
Might have to get into the fakes, the fugazis.
The fugazis. Okay.
You know, the feezies.
Ooh, not the feezies.
The feezies.
Not the feezies.
The Belinda nanas.
The Belinda nom noms. The Belinda nom noms. Okay.
Hey, but yeah, like, I think hidden gem is a perfect way to put it, just because it's something that's not very well advertised. It's something that's not shown very heavily, but like when you see it.
You see it.
You know you saw it.
It's out.
And it's really interesting that because the people who do put a lot of effort into getting these really, really rare sneakers, right? They must know that nobody else sees that. Nobody else pays attention. They don't know. You know, and somebody walking around with a pair of like off-white Jordan 1s retail like 10,000 or something like that. They don't look that much different than any other ordinary pair of Jordans
to the ordinary eye.
So they spend a lot of money to flex to a really small group. So I think that just is a testament to how much people care about sneakers. But maybe even more importantly, how much people care about the flex.
True.
How much people care about the drip.
What are you doing? What are you willing to do to impress?
Ooh.
What are you willing to do for that bag?
And what does that say about people's priorities and the vanity of people?
That's an ethical question.
I think it is.
That's an ethical question.
I think it is. That got a little...
That got a little deep. That got a little deep kind of quickly.
That got a little heavy. Got a little spicy.
Reach, brother.
But here's the thing, though. I ain't got the answer to that. I really don't know. And quite frankly, I don't know if that's quite a question that can get solved here on episode one of Hitting the Streets with No Punches, on the pilot episode.
I don't know if the pilot can handle that.
This number one.
You about to pilot, fly and crash.
Yeah, fly, bro.
Fly and burn.
Hey, man. And I it can't be flying and burning yet.
We ain't made it that far yet. We got to get off the ground.
Hey, man. We ain't even greenlit yet.
Man.
But, you know what? If you listen to this, I appreciate you. You know? Drip too hard.
Don't stand too close.
Okay. Okay. Get your drip. Get your bag.
Okay.
Get your bread, cheese, and lettuce. Make a whole sandwich with that. And
ain't no meat. Just bread, cheese, and lettuce.
I don't know if there's a word for like meat and money. You know.
Yo
bacon.
Yo bacon.
Man, get the bacon.
Chase the bacon, baby.
Chase the bacon. If you vegetarian, chase the turkey bacon. If you don't even mess with that,
if you're vegetarian, you're not eating bacon, period.
Ah, shoot. If you're vegetarian, don't chase no turkey.
Chase that vegetarian bacon, baby. You feel me?
But listen, man, we done got all the way off topic. And
I got to bring bacon. Talking about bacon.
And I got to bring it home, all right?
Bring it back.
This has been episode one, pilot episode of Hitting the Streets with No Punches. I appreciate you. Go cop a pair. You know, if your payday coming up, go cop a new pair. Go cop a new Holy Grail. Go
cop you some.
Cop a new gym, all right?
Cop
it's
you
been hitting the streets with no punches. I'm out. You got anything to say?
Man, all I'm saying is talk to me nice. Salute Sage Way, baby.
Hey, bro, talk to him nice. All right, we out.